Good morning. Today's Bible reading comes from John 15, verse 1 to 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit, so that it will produce more fruit. You have already cleaned because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch that's now unable to produce fruit by itself, unless it remains on a vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside, like a branch, and he withers. They gather them, throw them in a fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you do, want it to be, will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and proves it to be my disciples.
Now, in our garden at home, we have somewhat of a paradox. All the plants that I want to live end up dying because I am too lazy to weed the garden beds, and so we resort to spraying these weeds, which is fine, except I think I make our weed killer to be about napalm strength, and then the weeds die, as does everything around the weeds, much to Sarah's great hatred. So the plants which we want to stay alive around these weeds, should be lush and beautiful and whatever, but they end up dying. But now the reason I make this weed killer so strong is because we have another type of plant growing in the back of our house. Our neighbors have this almighty ivy bush, and it grows over our fence. And I want to keep it under control because, you know, once that takes root, it's kind of over. But the problem is, in a sense, no matter how strongly you make weed killer, no matter how much I spray that ivy bush, it just doesn't seem to die. Sure, some of the vines, some of the branches might shrivel up, but the reality is that the plant as a whole just does not seem to want to die. And no matter how hard I try to kill it, each little branch that's connected to the main ivy vine, no amount of spraying weed killer will kill the ivy. And that's very much the picture we actually see in our text today. Now, Jesus here is speaking to his disciples. This is part of what theologians call the upper room discourse. And so this is Jesus talking to his disciples, teaching his disciples about all that they will need once he leaves earth. It's that very night Jesus would be arrested. He would be sent to trial. He would end up going to the cross. There's a lot of weight to what Jesus is saying in this passage here. There's a great amount of importance to the words Jesus speaks here. And he's teaching his disciples how he wants them to live, how they are to remain connected to him. And it's so, because it was important for them to grapple with, it's also important for us to listen to. It's important as we enter into this year that we think about these things, because just like the ivy branches on the ivy plant or at my fence who want to keep living, so too we are supposed to be connected to Jesus, the true vine, if we want to be spiritually alive. Now, in essence, Ben has already done such an excellent job of explaining this passage this morning that I don't really need to say anything, but I'll give it a go. Today, I want to really ask the question, how is your connection with Christ? Are you staying connected to him? Or are you, like many of us, myself included, sometimes trying to grow on our own without kind of reference to or without being connected to Christ? I think we need to consider this together today, and we need to do so through a few different lenses. And I think the first thing we need to realize today as we consider this question, how connected are we to Jesus? How is our connection? We need to realize that Jesus is the only source of true spiritual life. In verse 1, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." Now, this is one of Jesus's I am statements. And so this is how Jesus saw himself, how he understood his ministry to be on earth, how we're supposed to see him as well. So what does Jesus mean when he says, "I am the true vine"? Well, we need to think about Israel's history for a moment. You see, Jesus here is referencing the Old Testament, and Israel in the Old Testament is often spoken about as God's vine. But the problem was that even though Israel was described as God's vine, it actually wasn't a good image, because time and time again, Israel failed to produce the good fruit that was supposed to go hand in hand with being God's vine on earth. We read, for example, in Isaiah chapter 5, from verse 1, a little kind of parable almost. There's a metaphor of how God sees and thinks about Israel here. And the prophet Isaiah writes, "I will sing about the one I love, a song about my loved one's vineyard. The one I love had a vineyard on a fertile hill. He broke up the soil, he cleared it of stones, and he planted in it the finest vines. He built a tower in the middle of it, and even dug out a wine press there. He expected it to yield good grapes, but it yielded worthless grapes. So now, residents of Jerusalem and men of Judah, please judge between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done for my vineyard than I did? Why, when I expected it to yield good grapes, did it yield worthless grapes? Now I tell you what I'm about to do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it will be consumed. I will tear down its wall, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland. It will not be pruned or weeded. Thorns and briars will grow up. But I will also give orders to the cloud so that the rain shall not fall on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of armies is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah the plant he delighted in. He expects justice but saw injustice. He expected righteousness but heard the cries of despair." It's a pretty bleak picture of Israel. It is this plant that was supposed to produce these wonderful, fruitful grapes, but God says all it produces is worthless fruit. Now, Jesus comes along and says, "I'm not like that. I'm not like Israel. I am the true vine. I'm not a worthless vine. I'm the living vine. What Israel failed to be, I am the one who has borne the fruit of righteousness, of justice, of perfection." Now notice what Jesus says. He doesn't say, "I'm a vine that produces a kind of fruit." No, he says he's the true vine. All spiritual fruit ultimately come from him. The true life, true spiritual life comes from him. He's the only source, actually, of true spiritual life. And you cannot get it anywhere else. In other words, if we want to be spiritual, if we want to have a spiritual life, then if we want to bear spiritual fruit, then we cannot do it alone. Jesus is the only source. We can't get it anywhere else. It has to come from him. Trying to grow spiritually via any other means will simply produce worthless grapes. Now think about that for a moment. You can actually get fruit from a bad vine. The point Isaiah was making is not so much that Israel didn't produce any fruit, but that they produced worthless fruit. They produced political power and wealth and at times a strong army. But these things are worthless in the eyes of God. He wanted Israel to have living, spiritual fruit, holiness, purity, and justice. You know, love, joy, peace, and patience. Kindness, goodness, and self-control. You can get fruit by being connected to a different vine. You can get wealth if you're connected to the vine that produces wealth. You can get success if you're spiritually grafted into the vine that produces worldly success. And you can get power if you're connected to the places that produce power. You can bear those fruits but they are worthless grapes. The question we have to wrestle with is, which vine are we connected to? What is the source of our fruit? Are we connected to the true vine? Because if we are, he is the one who produces good fruit. And so if you want to have good spiritual fruit in your life, you need to be connected to Jesus himself. So then how do we do that? How do we stay connected or get connected to the true vine? Well, let's have a look. Verse 2. Firstly, we need to trust in God's pruning. From verse 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. Now, I think if we're honest, we don't like to think of pruning. If we were the plant, I don't think we would volunteer for pruning. Imagine parts of yourself being cut away by a gardener. That just doesn't sound like fun. And yet, that is precisely what happens to the Christian. If we want to bear fruit, if we want to remain healthily connected to Jesus, the true vine, then we need to understand that God will prune away bits of us and bits of the vine that are unfruitful. And we need to trust that that is a good thing. And we can do that. We actually can trust the pruning, painful as it might be, we can trust that that's good for us. We can trust that it's good for us because of the one who does the pruning. Again, look at what Jesus says. He says, I'm the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Every branch that doesn't produce fruit, he prunes away. And those that does produce fruit, cuts away. And those that do produce fruit, he prunes so that they will produce more fruit. Now that's mind-blowing to think about. Because Jesus is saying that there will be some people who have all the trappings, all the decorations, all the outward appearance of being true believers, but who are actually dead inside. And eventually God will strip them away. Right? They might have, we probably all know people like this. They may have a connection to church. They maybe grew up in a Christian home. Maybe they've attended, you know, church for a while or whatever. But for whatever reason, they end up giving up the faith. And in my experience, this often is because they run into something in Scripture or in church that they just don't want to agree with. Perhaps it's something that the world values highly, but God says, no, that's not my way. Or perhaps it's a doctrine that they simply cannot accept, or for whatever reason there is some trigger, some disagreement, and or even just slowly drifting away, and in the end they leave to never return. And friends, we need to realize that this is part of God pruning the vine, pruning the dead branches. And that sounds really harsh. And I don't mean for it to be uncaring or unloving in any way. But the truth of the matter is that sometimes God will cut away the dead wood that is holding back a church community. And that is a good thing. I'm not saying we should rejoice over that because it's often painful, because these are real people. You know, they might be our friends, our family members. But it is a good thing. But it is God who does that. And that is for our good. He's the one who cuts off the branch. Again, it's not really for us to judge whether someone falls in this category or not, but it is a job that God does. On a spiritual level, he will sometimes remove a dead branch. But what happens in a corporate setting also happens personally in our own lives. Just like you cut a fruit tree to make it bear better fruit for the next season, so too, God will prune away parts of you that are unfruitful. And pruning, by definition, is the cutting away of something. And it feels like we're losing something. And it's uncomfortable. And when God does this, it may well be painful. Maybe it's a relationship that we value dearly that's simply not healthy for us. Maybe it's a dream and a desire that we have that God will cut away and says, that's just not for you because that will be bad for you. Maybe it's a trial that we have to go through that will force us to depend on Him in a way that we never have before. In that moment, it doesn't feel good, but it is good. If you've been alive for some time, you probably have moments in your life that you can look back to, difficult, really difficult seasons, but where you can now see that God was working through that, bringing you through that, changing you. Maybe you've learned patience because of it. Maybe He has humbled you because of it. Maybe He has taught you to trust Him because of it. Maybe He was preparing you by giving you greater resilience for something down the track that would be even more difficult. And maybe it will be years and years later that you can only look back and see that God has done this through your life and be thankful for it. But that is part of God's pruning. It's not easy, but because He loves us, because the Father is the gardener, He will do this for us because it is necessary. We might not want it, but we do need it. Jesus says, if you're going to bear fruit, then God is going to prune you so that you can bear even more fruit. Being pruned is actually a sign of God working in your life, that He is shaping you into the person He's calling you to be. So we can have joy even in that moment, because it shows us that we are connected to the true source, Jesus, and that God is working in our lives. So that's the first thing, or the second thing. We need to remember that God will prune us. The second way we stay connected to Jesus is by abiding in Him. And I read here from verse 4. Remain in Me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself, just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself, unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in Me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without Me. Now we need to be careful to understand the word remain here. Some English translations will use the word abide, which is much better, but it's not a word we really use. So in some sense, it's a little bit pointless. A better word even might be to tarry, but we don't use that word either. So this is a really tricky concept for us to translate. To remain here is to make an active choice to stick close to remain connected, to stay close with, to dwell in a relationship, if you like. It is to maintain a relationship with someone by staying close to him. And so what Jesus is saying here, is making very clear here, is that yes, God is the one who does the pruning, but we have a responsibility too. God has the responsibility to prune us, but we have a responsibility to do the things that remain, keep us closely connected to Jesus. He is the true vine. Without remaining in him, we will shrivel up. So how do we do that? How do we actually abide? How do we choose to stay close? How do we tarry in His presence? Well, in many ways, the answer is not really all that complicated. We stay connected with Him through His Word. We talk to Him through prayer. We stay connected by obeying His commands. And we stay connected by staying connected to His body. So we first of all stay connected to Jesus through His Word, Scripture. It's obviously one of the most important ways in which we can abide in the Word by being connected to His Word. Scripture is how God speaks to us. It's one of the primary ways in which God shapes us and nourishes us. Scripture is like water to the branch. So how much time do you feast and drink from the well of His Word? First thing, Scripture. Second thing is, we stay connected through prayer. Like any relationship, when people in the relationship don't communicate with each other, that relationship is not healthy. It will shrivel up. Prayer is one of the ways in which we can talk to God. It's not just about asking Him for our laundry list of items, but it's about telling Him about our day, having a conversation about what's important to us. It's about going through life, committing to Him in prayer, and praying to Him all throughout the day. Prayer is a bit like food. Sometimes you have a quick snack, you know, you quickly shoot up a prayer in the moment when you've got, you know, facing an exam, having some sort of difficulty or so on. And sometimes prayer is like a meal where you sit down and spend time and talk and connect with God in a more longer, feasty kind of way. So we stay connected through prayer. What does your prayer life look like? Thirdly, we stay connected through obedience. Later on in this passage, Jesus says, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love." Abiding in Jesus means living in a way that honors Him, obeying His commands, walking in His ways. Not to earn God's favor, but to live a life that is aligned with the vine. Kind of to let His life flow through you as you bear His fruit, obeying His commands. And then finally, we abide with Jesus. We remain connected with Him by remaining connected with His body, the church. Now, many people over the years have told me that, you know, I don't need to be part of a church to be a Christian. I don't need to go to church to worship God. And that's true, but that's dumb. Being a Christian means you are part of Jesus' body. Now, when you take apart a part of the body from the body, that thing will shrivel and die. It is not good. It does not go well with an arm if it is disconnected from the rest of the body. The Christian life cannot be lived or should not be lived in isolation. So remaining in Jesus means staying connected to His body, the church. We need one another, actually, for encouragement, for accountability, to support each other, to remain connected in studying His Word, to help each other along the way. So are you connected to a small group, a Bible study? Do you connect with other believers who can walk with you and help you remain connected to Christ? How's your connection through the body? So that's how we can practically abide in Jesus. Stay in the Word, talk to Him in prayer, connect through obeying Him, and stay connected to His body, the church. Now, finally, we need to think, and just briefly, why might we want to do all of this? Well, the answer is that it produces fruit, and fruit glorifies God. From verse 7, "If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. For my Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples." Now verse 7 is tricky because it says there, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you." Now I don't know about you, but my prayer life doesn't work like that. All the things I ask God for, you know, I don't get them all. The problem with that is that I'm not fully remaining in Jesus. My words don't shape me, His words, sorry, don't shape me completely. And so the things that I ask for are not aligned to God's will. And so that's actually my problem. That's not God not answering my prayers. It's me being shaped into praying for the things I should be praying for. So I just wanted to explain that because I want to think more broadly about these two verses together. So why does it matter? Why does it matter that we should abide in Jesus? Why does it matter that we should trust in God's pruning? Why does it matter that we should stay connected to the vine? Because the ultimate goal is for us to produce fruit that glorified God. Now, when your life bears fruit, when you live out of joy and peace and love and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, it shows the world who God is. It shows that you belong to Jesus, that you are His disciple, and that is a good thing. people will see you and give glory to God. Your life becomes a testimony, a living testimony, to God's grace and power at work in your life. And I think that's pretty incredible, right? God wants this for us. And He wants that for us because it glorifies Him. And He wants us not just to produce a little bit of fruit, He wants us to have much fruit, to grow in abundance in all of these things. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a life that always overflows with love, with joy, is never anxious but always at peace, that has endless patience, where the natural response is kindness and not selfishness, goodness and not, you know, self-conceited ideas? Maybe we are always faithful and gentle and in control. Wouldn't that be wonderful to have that? Well, actually, that is the goal. Much fruit. And living like this speaks to the world. This is how good God is. Won't you come and join us? Won't you come and put your trust in Him too, so that you too can be like that? What an attractive way to be to the world. So that you may bear much fruit, so that God gets the glory. So here's the question for us on this first Sunday of 2025. What kind of fruit is your life producing? Is it good fruit or worthless fruit? Is it the kind of fruit that glorifies God? Or is it the kind of fruit that comes because we are connected to a different kind of vine, a vine of success or comfort or pride or whatever the case may be? What kind of fruit is your life producing? The challenge for us is to remain connected to the true vine, so that we may produce good fruit, to abide in Jesus, to trust in the pruning, to stay connected to Him, because apart from Him, we can do nothing. So that we may bear this good fruit and bear it in abundance, so that we can live lives that give God glory. That is the challenge that is set before us for this year. That is what it means to really thrive as a human being. So do you want to thrive, and do you want to produce this kind of fruit? Let's pray. Father, we pray that you will keep us connected to your Son, Jesus, the true vine. We pray that you will prune us. We welcome it where we need it, even though it is hard. Lord, we want to grow and bear the fruit that will bring you glory. Help us to remain connected to your word. Help us to remain connected to you through prayer. Help us to live lives that bear and obey your commands. Help us to stay connected to your people. Lord, we pray that you will use our lives to produce fruit that honors you. Not because we want to be glorified, but because we want you to be glorified. Help us this year to live a life of abiding in you. We pray that you will help us to stay connected to Jesus, so that we can thrive as the people you've made us to be. We commit ourselves to this for this year, and we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.